Good morning again, and thank you for staying with us here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we considered the first portion of this chapter during our last time on the program, and we hope to be able to finish that up here today. Let's just read the whole chapter again together, beginning here in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Beginning of this chapter, again, this is actually an excerpt, an exposition, so to say, during this three-chapter addressing of spiritual gifts by the Apostle Paul. He kind of takes a step back from the nuts and the bolts of spiritual gifts and says the necessity of the proper motivation of exhibiting these spiritual gifts, which is charity. And he says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I've got the gift of prophecy and all mysteries and all faith, if I have these amazing expressions of spiritual gift, but I don't have charity, if it's not motivated by agape love, it's null and void, totally null and void. And even if he gives all of his goods to feed the poor, and he gives his body to be burned, if he does all of that, still, it doesn't profit him anything if he's not doing it with the right motivation of agape love. Charity suffereth long. Agape love is all about sacrifice, and there's no real love without sacrifice and suffering. But furthermore, just when the suffering first comes, we have one offense, one difficulty. That doesn't mean that we choose to quit loving someone. Why? Because we suffer long. And the primary pinnacle example of that is certainly that God has suffered long with us. Charity's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity doesn't get jealous when someone else is blessed. Why? Because we desire someone else's benefit and blessing anyway. So why should we be envious when good things happen to other people? Because agape love says that's what I want. That's my desire, is for other people to be blessed. So when other people are blessed, I'm not jealous. I don't envy that. I don't covet something that someone else received. I just praise God that the Lord bless them. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Charity does not draw attention to itself. It does not blow a trumpet when we're about to do something good. It doesn't brag to other people about the sacrifice that we made. Charity doesn't keep count. It doesn't keep a tally so you can whack somebody over the head in the future because I have more tally marks of sacrifice than you do toward me. Remember, agape love is without the thought of return. It's with no expectation that we're going to receive anything back. If we receive love in return, then praise God for it. But you don't do it with an expectation of you getting anything back. And that's why it's so important to understand that, and so important to understand the way that God loved us. He didn't love us with an expectation that we had to do something to validate that love. He loved us unconditionally, self-sacrificially, as the perfect expression of agape love. And now, based on our knowledge of his agape love toward us, he calls upon us to love other people in the same self-sacrificial manner. So charity does not brag about you being charitable. Agape love does not brag to other people, does not blow a trumpet, it does not post on social media, it does not invite television news crews to document when you have done something good for the benefit of someone else. And this is where we left off last time. So let's begin now together in verse 5. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly or rudely. Love does not act foolishly or contrary or in an improper way. The fact of the matter is there are sometimes that actions are permissible and sometimes they are proper in a certain occasion, but there are other times that in the right occasion, a certain action is proper, but in other occasions it's not proper. So love is perceptive of that, and love does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't act harshly. It doesn't act rudely, but it also doesn't act inappropriately. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to speak up. There's a time for everything under the sun, we're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And love exhibits itself in different ways sometimes. Sometimes the actions of love are more appropriate to just sit silently with someone and let them cry on your shoulder. But sometimes the actions of love are much more proactive. This next point of characteristics of agape love, and I don't think it's any coincidence that of these 16 characteristics, this is the seventh one listed, seventh usually being the number of completion and perfection in the Word of God. I think that this one characteristic of agape love can sum it up about as good as anything. Charity seeketh not her own. What we've been talking about this entire time is the self-sacrificial giving of oneself, underscore, highlight, for the benefit of another without the thought of return. So when love looks at a situation, when we see someone that's in need, we do not see anything that we can benefit from it because we're doing it without thought of return. But we look out at the world around us, and when we see situations, if we have the right goggles of agape love, when we look out at situations, we are constantly seeing the way that other people could be benefited and blessed by our actions. We are constantly looking out and seeking not our own, but seeking the benefit of other people. And I would dare say that's one of the primary characteristics of the attitude that we have of agape love. In Philippians chapter 2, describing the humility with which and the mind of Jesus that he exhibited in his life, this one line here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, charity seeketh not her own. Charity is looking out at the world around us and constantly gauging the actions of others, the situations of other people, everything that's around us, and evaluating how I can sacrifice myself to where someone else can be blessed and benefited. Why? Because love does not seek our own. It does not seek to be puffed up. It does not vaunt itself up. Instead, I am looking out of how I can sacrifice in my life to where someone else can be blessed and benefited. Charity is not easily provoked. Now remember, what's the first characteristic of agape love here? Charity suffereth long. Charity is not going to fly off at the handle. It's not going to be easily provoked to anger and wrath. And remember that also, not just as long-suffering a fruit of the Spirit, but temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. We're told to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. We're not easily provoked. We don't fly off at the handle. Love does not throw in the towel. The last thing that we have addressed here is that charity never fails. And it's not easily provoked where one little bitty thing has us fly off at the handle. No. Charity defers and looks over those things, again, for the benefit of someone else. Charity thinketh no evil. We don't look out at other people and see bad things. We look out at other people and see good things. Like we said, we seek not our own. We look out at the world around us and see how I can sacrifice myself for the benefit of someone else. Charity thinketh no evil. The default of a mind that's filled with love is to think good and positive things about other people, not evil thoughts. We don't think and meditate on how we can get back at other people. Instead, we think good toward them. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. We need to understand that true agape love does not gloss over the sins of others. It does not ignore sin. No, true love is going to call you on the carpet. If you love someone and you know that they're engaging in sin, you're not going to ignore that because you know that's not in their best interest. You know it's detrimental to them. And some people, when they're confronted, when they're acting in a manner that they ought, well, that you're not being very loving. Well, you need to speak the truth. You need to make sure you speak the truth in love. Do it with the right attitude and the right humble spirit and season that rebuke with grace if necessary. But the fact of the matter is, charity does not look at iniquity and just be content with that. No, the wickedness in this world should vex our righteous soul. It should stir us up down in our spirit. Charity does not look at the wickedness of this world and rejoice in that. Instead, charity rejoiceth in the truth. And real love is going to challenge you when you are not acting like you ought to. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, we're told in the Proverbs. And that friend should have the love and the care for you because they're seeking not their own. They're seeking your benefit. And love does not copulate, and love does not defer because we're afraid of confrontation. No, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is call somebody on the carpet because they're walking in iniquity and admonish them to walk in the truth. Charity beareth all things. The word bear here means to endure patiently in silence. Again, charity doesn't vaunt itself up. It doesn't blow a trumpet, doesn't blow a horn and draw attention and say, hey, I want you to know I'm suffering silently in patience for your benefit. No, the love that God has placed within us has the capacity to bear all things, to endure and to shoulder and to work through any challenges here in this life. Charity believeth all things. Now, this doesn't mean that charity is gullible and naive. It simply means that we can believe things when we have an attitude of love that we would have a difficult time believing if we didn't. I think about the amazing love that Abraham exhibited, being the principal example of faith in the Old Testament, how he followed the commands of God to leave his homeland and to believe that he was going to have a child that he didn't get for 25 years. All of these just amazing acts of faith. And I would say that that was rooted in his agape love for God. Because of his agape love for God, he was willing to believe things that against hope, he believed in hope. Against things that made sense to him, he believed God anyway. Again, love is not gullible, but love does have the capacity to believe things that our natural logic might not accept. Charity hopeth all things. Love is going to give us a joyful, hopeful, confident expectation that things can be better and not worse. Love is a disposition at its core to look out and see positives and not negatives. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. And finally, charity, agape love, never fails. Now, the fact of the matter is, we are sinners, and we don't exhibit agape love in the manner that we ought to. But I want you to think about the eternal security that we have in Jesus Christ and the agape love that He has exhibited to us on our behalf. And that is the basis and the foundation for every bit of agape love that we exhibit toward other people. And with that understanding of God's love that never fails, and the depth and the strength of God's love that He shows toward us, if we have that understanding, that's going to help us as we are called to suffer long with people here in this world, as we're called to bear all things and believe all things and hope all things and endure all things. And when we look at God's love that's everlasting, that will never be removed from us, and we're called upon to love other people when things get tough and they don't act right and people are just stubborn and they don't treat us the way that they ought to, we need to be reminded that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. And the way that we are going to express that love in this world to the most accurate degree is that we love other people in the same way that God has loved us. And God's love will never fail us. Praise God. And we need to have a disposition of love that's not flaky, that's not seasonal, that's not based upon a frou-frou feeling that you have down in your heart. No, charity is a conscious decision every single day to look out at this world, to sacrifice myself and my needs and what I want, and to look out in the lives of other people and see how can I benefit someone else by sacrificing something that I have. And if you have that disposition, I hope that that never fails you. And certainly God's love will never fail us. Now, the rest of that verse, charity never faileth. Will there be prophecies? They shall fail. Will there be tongues? They shall cease. Will there be knowledge? It shall vanish away. There was a special manifestation of spiritual gifts during that time that have ceased here in the New Testament kingdom today, and they're not necessary anymore. They were necessary to establish and to confirm the early church, but it's not necessary now, and now those have faded off the scene. And that's a different message for a different day. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. We can only see God through glass darkly, through a lattice here in this world. We can only see Him through glimpses, through the earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance. We only get a small little glimmer of the afterglow of God's glory. Like God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and he couldn't see his face, but he got to see his afterglow. And we can only see a little bit of the Lord. We can only see a diluted measure of the agape love of God toward us here in this world. We can only see His love through a glass darkly, but then we will get to see Him face to face. We will get to see the glory of God unfiltered when we are in glorified new spiritual bodies. We will get to see the fullness of the glory of the Lamb and worship Him for all of eternity, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." We'll get to see Him face to face. And we will know God just as intimately as He knows us. I shall know even as also I am known. Boy, I sure don't understand that, but it makes my heart feel good to think that I'm going to know God as intimately and as perfectly as He knows me. He knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. He knows every single thing about me. And I'm going to have that same intimate knowledge and communion with God the same way that He sees me unfiltered and just perfectly right now. I'll get to see my Savior in that same unfiltered way. Wow, praise God. And we'll get to see Him face to face one of these days. And then in verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, think about the characteristics of charity, of agape love that we've already considered, that charity believeth all things, that could be deemed as faith, and charity hopeth all things. So therefore, charity could be seen as the all-encompassing attribute of both faith and hope. But furthermore, in Galatians chapter 5, as it lists the fruit of the Spirit, the first attribute of the Spirit that is listed is love. The very first one that's listed is love. And then we're also told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 that God is love. God is defined by love. The greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. So you see the priority that love is given. And again, could be deemed an all-encompassing attribute of God, because love in and of itself is long-suffering. Love in and of itself is not easily provoked, or it's temperate. Love in and of itself has peace and joy and temperance and meekness exhibited in it. Meekness, because it's not vaunted up, it's not puffed up. So there's a sense in which all of these other attributes flow out of this one fruit, this one attribute of God that He's identified and characterized by agape love. But think about faith and hope. Faith is a belief in God. Hope is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see that faith and hope are closely connected, because faith is based on hope. But you see, we've been told in verse 12 that we're going to see face to face and we're going to know even as we are known. So when we have perfect knowledge and we're in the sight of God, when we are face to face with God in heaven, there's not going to be a need for faith. There's not going to be a need for hope, because we will have knowledge. We will have perfect knowledge. There's not going to be a need to hope of eternal life. There's not going to be a need for the hope of eternal life, because we will be experiencing eternal life. There's not going to be a need to hope of that something might happen, because it's going to be true, right? It's going to be valid. We're going to see it face to face. We will know it. We won't have to just hope and have faith about these things. So you see, faith and hope benefit us here in time, because they give us a substance to believe in something that we cannot yet tangibly verify. But you see, when we're face to face with God and we have perfect knowledge, the way that He has perfect knowledge, we're not going to need faith and hope anymore. So those are going to pass away. Just like how the prophecies and the tongues, they had their proper season and they were necessary and they were beneficial, but the need for them passed away. In like manner, faith and hope, the need for faith and hope are going to pass away because we're going to be seeing God face to face. But what will not pass away is charity. What will not pass away is the fullness of the expression of the agape love of God. And that is why it is described as being the greatest of these three. But now abideth, here in this world, here in our life, now abides these three things, faith, hope, and charity. But there's something that's more substantial than faith and hope that will not be needed in heaven. But you see, charity will be expressed in heaven because God's going to be there and God is love. We're going to be remade in His image and we're going to have the fullness of His agape love unfiltered as we abide with Him face to face. So the greatest of the three things that abide of this faith, hope, and charity is charity, because that will carry on into all of eternity. So for that reason, I believe that we can say that this agape love is eternal, because certainly God is eternal and He's identified and characterized by that. So I want you to go back and just meditate on these 16 characteristics of agape love. What does a self-sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return look like in our life? We suffer long with other people. We're kind. We envy not. We don't exalt, vaunt up, and puff up ourselves, but we're humble and meek. We don't behave unseemly. We seek not our own, but we seek the benefit of other people. We're not easily provoked. We don't think evil. We rejoice not in iniquity, but we rejoice in truth. We bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. And we hope that love never fails. It shouldn't fail in our life. But even when love fails, even when relationships are severed here in this world, that you thought that someone that loved you, that there's no way that that love could ever cease. Sometimes sinful people do sinful things and they don't act like they ought to here in this world. But I want to tell you, there is a love that never fails. And that is the love of your Savior towards you. God's loved you with an everlasting love. And the beautiful thing about an everlasting love is it lasts forever. There is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And even if our relationships might deteriorate here in this world, even if the love that people have toward us that should remain steadfast and fervent and stable, if it grows cold or even if it falters here in this world, child of God, take comfort in the fact that God's love will never fail you. God's agape love will never cease. It will never fail. It will endure all things. And it's because of that that we will see Him face to face at the end of time. Praise God that He loved us with an everlasting love. And because of that, we have the hope of eternal life, that we will get to see the fullest expression of that love for all of eternity in heaven, face to face with our Savior. Praise God with me for that this morning. May the Lord bless you today, and I hope that this is an admonishment to you to go out and live in a self-sacrificial way for the benefit of someone else, to exhibit agape love in your life so that God would be glorified by your actions. May God bless you.